It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself. And with me, as per usual, I have Aaron Flottam.
What's going on, John?
So much, Aaron. I had a great weekend coming out of it right now, back into work and everything. But as you are fully aware at this point, since you and I have been in communication, I went up to Mackinac Island this weekend.
No.
It's an adult vacation, by which I mean everybody wore a mask and acted like an adult. it was fantastic. You ride bikes, you're outside, it's great. And then I feel totally justified in eating as much fudge as I did, which in fairness was not actually that much, but I brought home plenty. We had one block. We got one, it's a creamsicle flavored fudge. So it's orange with like white swirls and stuff. And Josh, my oldest, he's like, oh, man, it looks like Colby Jack. Is it just a block of cheese? I was like, yes. Yes, you'd hate this. I'm just going to eat this by myself.
see, if you had had me for a child, it would have been, oh, Colby Jack, I'll eat that whole block. Or
he would too.
Fudge, I would eat the whole thing too.
Yeah, he'd actually eat both. I think he figured out what it was. He's just joking with me.
Grown boy.
He's a big kid.
Orange cream skull. Underrated soda, by the way. Oh my god, Henry Weinhart orange creamsicle soda is so good. Oh my god.
I used to remember like growing up getting Orange Crush in glass bottles. It was so great. Ooh. Especially cold on a hot day.
Yeah, when we used to bale hay, we used to get Sun Drop in glass bottles. Ice cold. Oh my god, it's so good. Oh, there's
Sun Drop is
that and Fresca. Fresca, severely underrated summertime drink, especially with some vodka.
Sun Drop is a field work type of drink too. Like for whatever reason, just that taste when you've been doing something out there is just, you're not the first one I've heard say that either. I will
14 wagons a day of baling hay, man, that gets old real quick.
But yeah. I will let everybody know. Thank you. First off, I guess I'll welcome you in and say thank you for following the show, including our friends out in Germany who continue to download us. And those of you for whom apparently our statistics here don't understand what country you're actually downloading from or what state sometimes even too. But at least three people downloaded from unknown parts last week. Wow. And Aaron, we've actually surpassed our 3,000 downloads now.
What?
So we're feeling very good about that. We're feeling our oats over here.
So what? So that means we're top 5% of podcasts? What was it?
We're nailing it. I don't know what it is. I think we're top 1%. Everybody give us those.
There's a stat about that, though. We talked about that. It was 3,000.
Not on air, though. Yeah, we did talk about this. It's something like that. I will, though, say thank you, everybody, for getting us to that milestone. But remember, of course, you got to go to iTunes. You have to go to Apple Podcasts. You have to go to Google Play, to Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you go to. Go there. Get the 5-star reviews. Help other people find this podcast and all the wonderful things we talk about and all the insane vamping that Aaron does from whatever non-research part of his brain is kicking it out at us. Remember, of course, to follow me at Not So Humble Host on Twitter, and you can follow the podcast at Scotty Johnny Pod, and please, you can retweet those things, get that back out there and spread everything that way. Also, Aaron needs help kicking up his numbers on his Twitter feed. Aaron, where do they find you?
Well, you dangerously used the word spread right there. I don't think we're supposed to be using that word anymore. You can find me at Cheddar Talk, Cheddar Talk, Cheddar as cheese, Talk as in what comes out of your mouth. You can find me there. I got some Republicans mad at me this last week, John. So that was a slight spike and then a slight decline in followers. But I'm holding steady right at about 365. So I have one follower for every day of the year.
Having so much fun there.
If I could just get Clue Haywood to follow me, that's all I care about. I love Clue Haywood. He's the best.
I want Now, if I get Aaron Rodgers to follow me, I think that'd be the.
I'm just keeping things in perspective. John.
I got Axford, Jonathan Axford actually retweeted me one time, and I was like, this is as good as it gets. I went out and told people about this. I was like, hey, Axford thought I was funny. This is pretty great. Yeah.
Frank Caliendo for me is the high end on that one. And then if I could get anyone to actually follow me, I would want at Bill Nye to follow me. But, But.
All right.
Bill listens to smart people that are learned.
learned, Lisa. No. Or whatever it's the Simpsons where they have the foreign exchange student where you are very learned, Papa Homer. It's pronounced learned.
Learned. Thank you, Super Nintendo Chalmers.
All right. Please remember, of course, to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. We will get started again here and get everything going in what we call the main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron. So, kicking off the main event, we're going to stick to our normal pattern and start with Packers.
Okay.
It's not really Packers specific talk this week, though. We don't have anything necessarily that is just a Packers thing. Big things are, of course, the Packers are trying to figure out ways of figuring out how many people are actually going to be allowed into stadiums. There has been some back and forth at this point now with the NFL and with the Players Association, the NFLPA, which is not short for NFL Pennsylvania. It's the Players Association. There were some interesting things. J.J. Watt has put out some stuff about what he has learned from being in touch and dealing with some of these things. One of the things he put out is, we have not received a single valid IDER plan, infectious disease emergency response, probably infectious, but he wrote infectious disease, from any team in the league. There's not a single IDER that's been filed by any team in the league at this point. They don't know if there are going to be preseason games or not. They don't know if there will be daily testing, semi-daily testing, or whatnot. They don't know.
Semi-daily testing? Oh, every other day.
They probably mean bi-daily, because semi-daily mean every half day.
Yeah, semi-daily would mean, yes, you get tested in the morning and night. Yeah, they meant bi-daily. Okay, sure. Yeah, all right.
Crazy. We don't know how a potential positive COVID test would affect contracts, roster spots, etc. Nothing has been agreed upon regarding what training camp will actually look like and how ramp-up period will work. And he begins and ends it with, we want to play. Now, to be clear, there's been more news since he tweeted that. He tweeted that out just before the weekend. So it's been a couple days now. Since then, the NFL has said that they are coming out. They've made some proposals. They're closer with the NFL Players Association. They are agreeing at this point, it sounds like, to daily testing and one preseason game. Of course, if you remember listening to us, the NFLPA said, how about zero?
How about zero? How about a big old donut? Yes.
They want one. And of course, the reason they want at least one is the NFL players do not get paid for preseason games.
Right.
That's not part of the contract. They get paid when the regular season games start. What they don't get paid for is preseason and playoff. That doesn't come out of the owner's pockets. Everything before and after the season is just cash to the owners. So that's what they want more than anything.
And as usual, a lot of again, full disclosure, I still listen to KFan out of the Twin Cities, everybody.
He does.
So a lot of my opinions are based around what I hear about this, just strictly NFL stuff too, like not Vikings versus Packers stuff. I just hate the Vikings, but I just love a Minnesota station. I don't know why. But so they were talking about on the morning show too, and it was like the Vikings in particular are a team that have a lot of rookies this year because they had, 27 draft picks? How do you evaluate your rookies before the season starts, and how do you actually – cut players if you don't have any sort of then the other thing is too, how come if you do one preseason game, that means 16 teams are going to get hosed, that they get a 16 teams get a home game and 16 teams get an away game only. So, and it's almost as if, you know, like, just to test fire how this is all going to work, you better be able to do a home game and an away game. So that's kind of where the two game thing was. I don't know, John. It's frustrating. And there's things too, like J.J. Watt. You know, J.J. Watt's a very smart NFL player. Like he's intellectual and he's a very good player. And there's lots of them too. And I don't know if Russ Wilson's put anything out there either, but Russ Wilson's got a pregnant wife right now.
He has actually put out some stuff that he has concerns, and the amount of hashtag we want to play has been right. Just pretty superfluous across all the social platforms.
Right. So, I don't know. It's like, you know, we're letting kids off a drill because they have pregnant wives right now because of the concern and this and that and the next thing. The one thing the NFL does have, though, is, I mean, they've got money. So they can afford to test people every single day. And the tests are getting cheaper and cheaper as we go along, as things happen in society. You know, at first, of course, it was expensive, but now, you know, it just doesn't feel good, John. Like, it's like, you know, and out of all the leagues that had the most time to react and to get it together and have it right, it's almost as if, I don't know if the NFL is still like doing research, and part of me wants to think that somewhere behind closed doors, they're actually like doing risk analysis, like pros and cons, like what, you know, how this is happening. I mean, especially in baseball, you know, Freddie Freeman just put out the other day that he had COVID and he thought he was going to die.
Oh yeah.
If Freddie Freeman would have actually died, baseball would be done. The season would be over. They wouldn't have one, you know? And so it's one of those things. It's like the NFL is where it is because of smart business making decisions. And I don't know if it's, I don't know why they would hold anything from the players, but because there's nothing to really hide. There's no ace in the hole that they're trying to hide. There's no silver bullet that they have that if they release it, the other leagues are going to steal it and they'll do well. So that's the confusing part about it. But I mean, part of me maybe thinks the NFL is still trying to figure out what they're going to put out. Or the other side of that coin is the NFL doesn't care and they're just going to roll into the season like nothing's happening and just pray for the best, which sadly I think is actually what's happening. And they're going to make the teams decide what they want to do with everything.
Yeah. Andy Herman, friend of the podcast, Andy Herman, actually.
Hi, Andy.
He put it up here too. He says, question. I love this. Says he ties it into so many things here at once. Question: what NFL player most represents the way the NFL handled the COVID situation? Answer: Dez Bryant. They dropped the ball. Somebody else replies with a less funny or on point question or answer of Josh Gordon. They failed the test and now they're suspended all season.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's that too.
No,
yeah.
Dez Bryant's the better one because. Yeah, they very clearly had the NFL was in the perfect position. I can't remember if it was Mort or if it was one of those other ESPN guys who said something like this, where it was just like, you know, baseball was going and then had to stop. Hockey and basketball were almost to the playoffs and had to stop. Everybody else had to stop and then try to figure out how they're getting back to it. The NFL has been able to sit back, watch, see how everything else was going, and then figure out their plan based on some things that were working, other things that weren't working. And it seems like they have no plan. What they have said is everybody is reporting beginning of next week, Monday. You know, like players will report on the 27th, I believe.
Chiefs and Texans reported today.
You know, everybody will be reported by this date. I mean, like rookies earlier, but yeah, everybody's going to be reported. And basically, the NFL has just said, like, hey, just nothing to see here. And it makes me less and less convinced that there will be a season. I have grave concerns that they have a plan whatsoever about what they're going to do next. Like, there's not, they haven't put forward saying like, hey, everybody, just so everybody's mind is at ease, if anything happens to a player, we have these plans. There's no bubble. There's no travel plan. The most they're doing is saying we're not going to let as many fans in the stadiums. Maybe we'll only let in, you know, a quarter of what we can fill, or, you know, half, or 10% or something. But they haven't said what their plan is in any way. There's nothing being put out. And to be entirely honest, I guess like the NFL doesn't always tell us what they're thinking.
Right.
But if there's anybody over there with half a brain, they're going to tell you like, hey, your fans are going to want to know that this is going to happen. What do we have to do to get them convinced that we understand that they want football and that we're going to make this happen? I mean, like there's a lot of, I'm not the only one who's convinced it's not going to happen.
Well, remember how we need cough buttons, by the way.
I just turned my volume all the way off.
Yeah, so well, I assume that you just do that anyways, and you're not listening to me anyhow. I mean, that's nobody true. Else.
Well,
they
I
just tune out.
I have the mixer here. You don't hear it. So.
But true story. So I was telling John prior to the show, I actually had to have my own COVID test last week, and I tested negative. But instead, I had massive bronchial problems, bronchitis issues with seasonal allergies, because I grew up in the great north of Wisconsin, and now I live down in corn country and I can't breathe down here in the summertime. Anyway, so I cough a lot, and I had a lot of chest tightness and a whole lot of other myriads of problems this last week. So if I cough, I apologize. Anyways, so to your point though, like we said last week about the can be back on track, John, when we're talking about the
just how are we going to have football? I have no idea how we do this. They don't seem to have an idea either. They're just kind of, it seems like they're praying. It seems like the entire plan is, well, we've always been able to make something happen. Some way this will work out. We're a blessed league. Like we're a blessed league. God loves us and America. And we're going to just, football will happen because baby Jesus won't let us not be on CBS this year. You know, I don't know.
Well, I know. I definitely know that 31 of the owners vote for Trump. Sorry, politics just came into the conversation.
I don't think that's anyway. Part of it. I just think that they're just not planning. They don't seem to be good at planning things.
So what was that? God, that thought is gone. I had a thought in my head just before I coughed there and had to explain the cough thing. it's something that I've been thinking about the whole thing about the Packers, or about the Packers in the NFL season too, is that, the herd immunity thing. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how I said that I know that there's going to be a story that comes out a year from now that some college, probably in the SEC, has a coaching staff that told their players to go get COVID to get it over with. And I wonder if the NFL is doing the same thing. Like, everybody report, let's get this over with, and you're going to get it or you're not going to get it, and whoever gets sick, and it'll all be over with before the season starts. I mean, and the thing is, when it's college kids, it's unethical. When it's the NFL, they're employees. So it's no different than a meatpacking plant. It's no different than a department store. It's no different than a grocery store. You know, hey, if you don't want to show up to work, you're not going to get paid. If you put your safety over, you know, everything else, but if you want to get paid and you don't want to waste a year of your career, then you'll show up. You know, you can't say that to a college kid because they're getting paid, but they're not getting paid, quote unquote. So, you know, you can't do that to them. So I have a thought in my head that maybe that's what the NFL is doing here. Like, hey, we're just going to plow through this. Let's just get it over with right away at the beginning. And whoever is not on board, you know, stop playing this with kid gloves, because the NFL, as we have stated, is very smart business wise. And they've watched, you know, Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA even too. And we're going to talk about this more during the Bucks portion of the show. You know, they thought they were doing it all right. And then, oh, we made this bubble and this is going to happen. This, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And people are testing positive left and right. And it's throwing some wrenches into it. And it's, you know, and college football is scaling back to a conference only format, you know, and, you know, maybe the NFL is just thinking, we're just going to plow through this because we're going to be the only show in town. And we'll, whoever is left when the season starts, and we're going to throw stuff out there. And no matter what happens, the NFL will be watched no matter what. It doesn't matter. They could do everything unethically and people will still watch until further notice. I mean, there's a thought for you. And there's a lot in that. There's a lot of, to unpack on that one, but I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the plan.
I don't know.
Because the NFL does not ever not have a plan. They always have a plan.
I don't know. I mean, like, it just seems so strange. It's frustrating. And I don't think they're answering any of the fans' questions. You know what I mean? Like, we have concerns. We're the pain. Have you ever seen another business that has a plan that seems so completely unattuned to listening to whether the concerns about whether or not they'll even be able to put forward something that they can sell all of their customers? I mean, like, could you imagine, like, you had a TV subscription? Like, we may or may not have, you know, any channels tomorrow. Just, we really think we will.
We're like, I dealt with that with Sling last year when they took away FSN. So, yes, yeah, I have seen it before. But anyways, not to step on your point, but yes, you're right.
But for a non-technical reason, they're like, we may or may not even bother. Like, we might just not have money to show game or show any television tomorrow. We'll figure it out as we go. And you're like, no. What's your plan to make sure that this is, I'm paying you a subscription for stuff, right? And they're like, we'll see.
No, I know there was laws and stuff involved with that one too, but no, it's interesting. And it's, I mean, they don't owe anybody anything. I mean, I guess they owe Fox, NBC, CBS, and whoever else for TV broadcasting rights. But I mean, it seems like if there's one league that, you know, and the NFL built up a lot of goodwill with the draft this year, the way they did the draft, and people saw Roger Goodell in a different light. They saw Bill Belichick's chair and his dog and Cliff Kingsbury's amazing house in Arizona. But I mean, it was a very fun event. The draft was a hit. Like, and at the time when we were all locked down with nothing else to do, my wife watched the draft, for God's sakes. Like, she doesn't even show up for our own fantasy drafts, much less, you know, watch the NFL draft, you know. So inside joke there. Anyways, behind the scenes stuff. Holly rocks. I mean, everybody watched the draft because there was nothing else to watch, and it went off, you know, and you saw all these players in their own homes with their families, and it was different. It was unique. It was something else, and the NFL hit it out of the park. And I think maybe the NFL's thinking, we built up enough goodwill with that one. Plus, we're, you know, the NBA was the darling of all the leagues for a while there. NHL, I mean, even if the NHL gets up and moving, so many people don't know anything about hockey. They're not going to watch because it's such a nuanced sport, you know. So
here's one thing, too, I guess I'm seeing is I'm trying to see how some of this goes here. In FCS football, which is not the things that anybody's following, but several conferences are just saying they're not going to play.
Right.
The CAA, which is at the Colonial Athletic, they're not playing. The MEAC, MEAC, says they won't be playing. The Ivy says it will not be playing sports in the fall. The Patriot League said they're not going to be playing. So at least at this point, and this is, I think, a couple days ago, this is the 17th, four FCS conferences, not schools, but conferences, are saying that they will not be playing football. They will not be playing fall sports this year. So,
well, and outside the Ivy League, who they don't need the money, but some of those other conferences, smaller conferences, how many of those teams only run in the black because they go down to Alabama and get stomped week one, but walk away with a $2 million paycheck? If they're not getting that $2 million paycheck, they run in the red. You know, a lot of those FCS schools do.
I'm trying to think who's in all the Patriot League.
Nobody cares.
How dare you?
MIT. I think MIT might be.
I know more about it from okay. So here's some of the schools, like Colonial Athletic. That's going to be James Madison, which is a top five school in FCS. Villanova, Albany, New Hampshire, Towson, Maine, Elon, Richmond, Who was not that good last year, but pretty good. Delaware, awesome. William & Mary, Stony Brook, Rhode Island, Ivy League, of course, we know them. It's a bunch of guys in Cornell. Cornell is the back end of it. The Mideast Athletic Conference, the MEAC, that includes like North Carolina A&T. That's where Tariq Cohen went. Bethune-Cookman, of course, famous for
Nick Collins,
Morgan State, Howard, Delaware State, North Carolina Central, Norfolk State. These are a lot of historically black colleges and universities here. What's the other ones we were looking at? So not Northeast, Ohio Valley. Patriot, of course, has Holy Cross, Lafayette, Lehigh, Colgate, Bucknell, Fordham, and Georgetown.
And, of course, Holy Cross is where Rudy went to school before he could get into Notre Dame.
I think I'm trying to remember if it's the same one, but either way, because it's a different. I think this is a different East Holy Cross. I think it's a different one out east.
I know. I'm just making stuff up.
Anyhow, we'll come back to a little FCS later.
But once again, a lot of schools that you see on the back end of a 42-0 stomping at the beginning of the season to some top five team from the SEC. So
So anyhow. That's where we are in football. Just frustrated beyond belief, basically, is where we are. And we got a lot out of that, but we're going to get a little more. We're ending a little more hopeful at this point, okay? Because what we're going to move on to now is baseball.
And we got to
watch baseball this week.
With the Packers, though. You missed a giant story this last week with the Packers.
Oh, what was the other one I missed then?
Danica Patrick. All right, moving on.
I don't care. I don't care. I mean, I always wish the best for Aaron in his personal life. I don't want to talk about it that much. You know, like he does what he does, and good for him. I just hope he's happy and safe. And
positive notes, baseball.
Baseball. They did a great job with producing this this Blue Gold World Series, which I think went to a 5-game set or something. The gold team just walked away with the first 3 games. They scored almost all their runs in the first inning. I don't care who won because they were picked by the players. It was a team thing. I think we need to get to the biggest story of all, of course, which is Ed Cedar needs to be on a microphone at every given opportunity throughout every game. And I'll tell you the bit, and some people were sharing it without context, photographs of when Cedar was talking to Pena. Manny Pena's in the dugout. For anyone who didn't watch this, he's in the dugout with a headset on, talking with it was LePay and Rock calling the game. Yeah. Right. So they were on there and Cedar's out at third, and he's at third for both teams. So he's just out there the whole time. Every time there's a hit, he goes, "Uh-oh." like he's not sure where it's gonna go. It's like, oh man, oh okay. whoever's hitting it is the guy he's in charge of, right? So, anyhow, him and Pena are kind of talking to each other across the way, and Cedar's like, "Hey, Manny, you got to do the pineapple yoga." Did you watch this? It's the best. The pictures of him doing pineapple yoga are some of the best television I have watched in months. Like Manny, like pulls both his arms in, kind of T-Rex style, and then pulls them up over his head like claws, like one way back over his head and one way off to the side, and like leaning back and stuff. And he's like, "You gotta do it like this," and then Cedar's doing it out at third base, like a crazy old man doing some sort of Tai Chi or something, and it was hilarious. And so, of course, there's pictures of the two of them doing this. It says presented without comment. It's like, it's so good. I just want Eddie Cedar to keep doing it. And pineapple yoga, and just the fact that they do call him the pineapple makes me so happy, because my family, we have been referring to and I guess I thought his name was Emmanuel. It is just Manuel.
Manuel. Okay.
But Emmanuel Pena would mean God is with us, pineapple. But his name is Manuel. Still, Manny Pineapple is so good. And he is a funny guy, and he did so well in the interviews. But I just need a day where just Cedar and Euchre are in the booth together, calling anything, you know, just videos of a little league game that has already happened. It's just, Eddie is so good out there, and he was hilarious to listen to. And he, who's Erickson, completely misplayed a ball out in outfield. He's a guy who's been tooling around in the minor leagues for a while now, and he looks older than me. Just graying out there and stuff. And he just misplayed a ball. And Eddie Cedar's like, I put a note on his locker just the other day saying outfield practice at 3. And then he didn't show. I was like, just digging him out. And it's like, hold on, guys. Well, we got a break here, changing pitchers. I'm going to go out and talk to him. And he did. He walked out there. He's like, hey, Erickson, if I put a note on your locker saying outfield practice, you think you could make it tomorrow? It's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, Erickson played it off very well and just laughed along with him. But I was like, man, God, Cedar is so good. I just want him on the microphone so much. That's the best part of this, is just listening to Cedar, who, I mean, God, you can just listen to how much they love playing and how much they love what they're doing and how much they all know that they're sacrificing to do this. Because Lindblom specifically had a lot to talk about on that. I think he's got, I can't remember, like, he had is his daughter who was born. I can't remember what it was with, but like, they couldn't let family even hold their daughter, even when they're coming home from the hospital, because they're like, no, she's got, there's issues. You can't have this. You know, you all want to hold her. We get it. But now he's going into this. He's like, I have to understand, like, this is what I'm doing, and I'm trying to stay safe, you know, and we have to take care of all these precautions as much as we can. And, man, Lindblom looks like a really nice addition on this team. I'll tell you, the additions they made to this team did very well. Morrison and Smoke both did very well out there, I thought. They both were hitting the ball very well, driving the ball in that ballpark, seeing pitches very well. But I'll tell you, the best thing I feel about is Woodard, and, you know, more so than Woodard, because Woodard, we knew what he could do last year. And we saw a lot from him last year, and we were very excited to see more from him there. And we just hope that it's not like a blip. We just want to see him do it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. But, man, seeing Corbin Burnes just light it up made me so happy.
No, God, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, any takeaways from the – I mean, I know you didn't watch all of them, but the bits.
No, and actually one of the takeaways was that we have to get used to these adjusted baseball schedules now. Like I said, games one and games two, like baseball circadian rhythms in my head make me think that the baseball game is going to be on at 7 o'clock at night. So usually I can miss the first couple innings and I start listening around like 7:38 o'clock. And
circadian the first rhythm that's like once in 7 years or something when the cicadas come back.
No, what did I mean to say?
No, I'm just joking. I think you said it right. I'm just being.
I was going to say, I thought I saw it. I ran it through my head three times before I said it. But I missed the first two games entirely because the games were over by the time I was like, oh, baseball's on. I should be watching baseball. And they started at like 5 o'clock or something, which, you know, we talked about before the show. You know, the Brewers don't have to worry about it because they were smart and they built a retractable roof stadium. But like teams like the Twins, you know, they're going to have to be ready to play games at any time. Like, hey, we're moving today's game up to 11 o'clock in the morning because starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's supposed to rain for 12 hours. Like, they're going to have to because there's no wiggle room for error, you know, or you're going to be playing double headers back to back to back to back, you know, and like flying all over the place, you know, like maybe they even talked about like if you're already out and the season's running out, like you're going to play your game in Chicago and then you're going to fly to Kansas City and play another game that afternoon, or you're going to have to split squad and send half your team to Kansas City and half your team to, you know, Chicago, because, you know, if it's September 15th and you still owe six games, you know, to get to 60, you know, so we better get used to the adjusted schedule thing. But I missed the first two games. The one big takeaway I had from it is I really do like Matt Gamel a lot. Ben Gamel. We talked about this. I even wrote it down.
I love Matt Gamel. We traded him away for CC Sabathia.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. He's Ben Gamel. God, that's good. So I'm just going to say Gamel.
Yeah. There. You've been safe there.
I like Gamel a lot. I think he's a good piece of the team.
I like Turtles.
What's good to see was good to see Burns playing well. It's just good to see everything. It's just good to see baseball. And it's good to see the whole thing about this blue and gold series, too, is just the camaraderie of this team. Like, I mean, maybe other teams are doing stuff like this, but it's not out there, you know? So, I mean, the Bruins were consistently on SportsCenter throughout the whole series. Like, so obviously they're drawing some attention to themselves.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, like, one of the other people who did very well, I thought, I mean, not like splashy, but had a couple of good plays. And I think he was one of the captains. I can't remember exactly, but Narvaez, I thought he did very well out there. It was fun to see in a bat, you know, like an inning where I think Manny Pena came up right after Narvaez, or maybe it was Nottingham. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, it was catcher. It was fun to see. It was just glorious. But it was. I want to touch on it again, though. I mean, I don't know, for those who didn't follow a lot with the Brewers last year, there were expectations for Corbin Burns as a young guy who had a lot of arm talent and as somebody that we were really hopeful to see really take some steps and be big there. And he had some shaky first couple starts and lost just about all his confidence last year. Ended up going down to the minors. And, I mean, he seems like he really is figured a lot more out, feels a lot more confident. Manny Pena, right after Pineapple Yoga, was saying that Corbin Burns is one of the guys who's impressed him the most. You know, of course, they set him up because they don't want to say, like, hey, who's let you down this preseason? You know, it's like,
right.
They're like, who's one of the guys who's impressed you the most? And it immediately goes to Corbin Burns. He's like, hey, yeah, I think he lost. And he was very clear about this, too. He's like, you know, I think he lost a lot of his confidence last year. You know, he came out, he wasn't feeling good, and things weren't working for him. And he came out and had problems. And he went down to the minor leagues, worked a lot of it out, and he came back, and he looks really good right now. What do you have, like 4 scoreless, 12 up, 12 down, like 4 perfect, I think. And something, I forget how many strikeouts he had. But, yeah, I mean, he did very well. He was locating very well. Freddy Peralta looked very good. Woodard looked good. I'm trying to think who else is like I said, it's good to see this bullpen looks like it has several guys I can go to. Claudio looks mostly like what he always looked like, which is not stunning, but he's a guy who can get something done. He can carry you an inning or two.
Every single bite.
yeah. Every time. Yeah. Knable coming back is nice. Not just one. There's several things now, though, that are concerns. Braun. It looks like Braun's probably not ready. I mean, the Brewers are starting Friday night. Friday's opening day for the Brewers.
Yeah.
Baseball will start Thursday, but the Brewers will start Friday.
Yeah.
Braun is on. It's not football. They're just not being very clear with this. They're saying normal aches and pains associated with a 36-year-old major leaguer. That's the quote from Adam McKelvey's article, which I believe came up on brewers.com. So, yeah, I mean, like, he's just not out there right now. He's 36, and he's not out there every day. And they're saying he's probably not going to be there for the opener.
Isn't it crazy that the sport that has the most ability to expose an injury also has the injury report that is most specific to the body, and that is football.
Yeah, it was gambling.
He's got a slightly torn ACL. Okay, we're gonna go after the left knee until he can't walk anymore. That's baseball true. Has, and then in the meantime, hockey, upper body injury, lower body injury.
Upper body. He's got a lower body injury. What's that? He caught a puck in the ankle, or he tore his groin, or it's an ACL. Yeah, lower body.
Upper body can be a herniated disc, or your brains are coming out of your nose.
It could be any number of things. It is only one of two types of injuries. It is an upper body or a lower body. And if you watch hockey, you know this. And if you don't, you're like, what? But that is exactly true.
The upper hockey body injury report. It's brilliant. I love it. And I think it should be more like that in all the leagues anyways. We shouldn't be disclosing players' injuries down to the nth degree. The NFL is crazy about
it's
that.
Gambling. It's gambling. It's gambling that does it.
You're correct. Yes.
Hockey, hockey players are not admitting they're injured. So they're like, where's I hurt? I don't know. Somewhere up here.
I didn't have. I was missing teeth before the game. Eh.
Coach, don't you got to put me out it. There. You only got the one leg there, Bruce.
His skates aren't that sharp. It didn't hurt.
I'll just push off on the left leg the whole way. I just drove through Escanaba. I can do this all day.
Perception. My eye is fine.
Jeez, old Pete, coach.
Oh, man. Just put some more foil on. Let's
look,
do this.
I'll just lean on the stick a little bit more when I'm going out there. It's going to be all right. But the I'm thing already is, on the ice. It's going to keep the swelling down.
After a bad game like this, you got to cut a couple players to get your point across. And I don't mean get them off the team. I mean with a knife.
With a knife. Tell you what.
But sure I mean, thing, that's a, I mean, as far as gambling goes, like that's a pretty fair assessment of, you know, Braun's injury. Like, I think it's a blessing in disguise for him that they're going to have DH at least this season, if not going forward. I think it's silly that one league has a DH. It's you got to have it both ways. I mean, it's been, 74? Is that when the AL started doing the DH? It's been.
Oh, I don't remember.
45 years of one league doing it completely different. You know, it's.
Yeah. They'll be doing it this way. This year, a little differently. Brett Anderson is going on the 10-day injured list. And, of course, when I look at the article headline at one point, it says, like, Anderson injured, sent to IL. And, I mean, it was like, wow, that's really mean. Just because he's hurt, you don't have to send him to Illinois. I mean, who's punishing this guy?
And this year, too, if you're going to the 10-day disabled list, they shouldn't call it the IL. They should call it the ILL. Two puns in a row. Zing.
So many zings.
He was fine. What happened in the game last night? It didn't look like he got injured. Nope, he's just gonna go away for 10 days. Now nobody has COVID.
Yeah, he has a blister. I mean, seriously, he's gonna miss a sixth of the season because he's got a blister. Well, 10-day doesn't necessarily mean a sixth because there's maybe a day off in there. You know what?
Pull the Jonathan Lucroy. His wife dropped a suitcase on his hand and broke his finger.
Yeah, there's no way that actually happened. I love Lucroy.
No.
Here's the one thing that actually is. I didn't realize it when we first talked about the schedules being released because I didn't assume that this was a possibility. Did you know that, you know, you're playing 20 games against each of your division rivals, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs play, or is it not 20, probably 10. You're playing 10 against each of them, right? So that counts for 50 or was it 40 of your whatever games? 40 of your 60 games. Central versus Central, East versus East, whatever. Yeah. So you're playing 10 games there. Do you know the Cubs are playing 12 home games against the Brewers and Cardinals and only 8 away?
Like, right. No,
they're 6-4 against both of those teams. How is that allowed to happen? How is it a possibility that in this world you could have scheduled a schedule where you don't have 5 home, 5 away?
That's the same thing in the AL Central. Is that so the White Sox went out and made some big moves during this offseason. And so the Twins, who are honestly World Series contenders.
Yes.
I say that with no hyperbole or any preposterousness. The Bomba Squad is, you know, they've got it. That team is well put together. Felvey and Levine put together a really good team up there. They end up on the road against the White Sox for 12 games.
And the White Sox are pretty good. They look like they could be pretty good this year.
Right, because they went out and made a couple big signings. However, they do get so they're on the road 12 games for the Sox and the Tigers, and then they're home for 12 against the Kansas City Royals and the Cleveland Indians, soon to be Cleveland Spiders. I hope that's the name that wins. Man, the worst team in baseball history, the Cleveland Spiders.
Cleveland Dock Spiders. Just like that's the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders is one of my favorite names of any baseball team ever.
Yeah, that is a good name too, by the way. God, minor league baseball teams have the best names. Anyways, so I mean there's a little conspiracy theory against that both Chicago teams and the New York teams and the LA teams, the way they set up the schedule is that the biggest contenders against the biggest contenders in the division against them are the ones that they got majority home games against. That's kind of a sort of a conspiracy theory now. Cause it's yeah, not just even, like,
that's exactly what they did. Baseball is the least hidden in terms of how they want to just ruin the game by just attacking their own teams and saying, some of you have a big chance to win this every year. And some of you might have a chance to win it sometimes. I mean, there's no, there's no salary cap. There's specific rules that really just make it easier for a big team in big cities to always win. And they'll never be out of it for long. Like, the Yankees are bad. They're good again in 2 years because they can do that.
And people are like, well, they point at Houston and they're like, well, Houston won a World Series and they've been really, Houston's the fourth largest market in America, people. And it's Texas.
Yeah.
On top of it. The one outlier is Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City is a pretty big market, but it's, I mean, that's like the one outlier is Kansas City. And look where they're at now.
Well, not right now. Yeah.
I mean, so when they won a couple of years back, but it's like, I always say Major League Baseball, the worst thing that, you know, that could ever happen to them would be a Brewers versus Twins World Series.
Yes. That would be so great.
Or a Brewers Kansas City World Series, one of the two. You know, so if it's not New York, if it's not Boston, if it's not Chicago, if it's not LA, they're not interested. They don't care. Why do you think Seattle's never done anything? Seattle had the best regular season record ever 1 year. They won 112 games and got bounced in the first round. That was the best thing that could happen to Major League Baseball. Because, oh my God, if we have to have people pay attention to baseball in Seattle. Are you kidding me?
That team was so good.
God, they were really so good.
That team was amazing.
That was Randy Johnson and Churro. Man, they were stacked. I mean,
Rodriguez. They had A-Rod and Ken Griffey Jr. on that team, right?
And Churro.
And Jay Bruner. And Edgar Martinez. Yep. Yeah. No, crazy good team.
And they had Randy Johnson. Yeah. And who else knows? But
it doesn't matter. Arguably, who else?
there's an argument. Okay, someone's gonna have to fact check me at Cheddar Talk. But I think Churro was on that. No, Churro wouldn't have been on that team because Ken Griffey Jr. played right field. So that would have been before Churro. But I was gonna say. So, and how about that? The Mariners went from Ken Griffey Jr. to Churro.
Churro Suzuki. Yeah.
I mean, think about that. A-Rod's not the best player of all time. Ken Griffey Jr. might be the best player of all time. Ichiro might be the best hitter of all time.
Slap ball hitter, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, just hitting the ball. Like him and Tony Gwynn. I mean, him and Tony. I mean,
that could be a podcast of us just talking about players that we loved watching growing up too. That could just be our own thing. But
what was it? There was some crazy stat I just heard about Tony Gwynn the other day. And it's just unbelievable, like how good of a hitter he was.
It's crazy,
like people don't even realize. And so was, I mean, and so was Ichiro Suzuki. Like you just couldn't get the guys out. They were hitting 350 a year.
If Ichiro had played his entire career in the major leagues, he'd have broken every hitting record. He just would. Right. He just would have. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, did he break 3,000?
I believe he did. He also set the single season hit record. He broke Fox's record on that. So yeah. No, he had plenty of things there.
I'd much rather have him at the top than Pete Rose. But anyway, sorry.
The last couple of things we do want to talk about, we do have little bits of basketball here as we kind of start to wind up the show. Two COVID positive tests now on the Bucks. Pat Connaughton. And Bledsoe as well.
God, no.
So, I mean, like, the only thing you can say that's good is Bledsoe says he's asymptomatic, will be joining the team as soon as he's allowed to. Once he gets cleared that he is no longer positive, he'll be allowed to rejoin the team and move into the bubble. You hope he's okay. You hope that there are not the long side effects that they keep talking about now and stuff, and that he does all right. And you want him to come back and be healthy and live a good life because he's a human being. And we pray for him as a human being first. After that, because this is a podcast where we talk about sports, we say the short little season they're going to play before they go to the playoffs doesn't matter almost at all. I mean, the Bucks have, I think they have to win two games of their, was it 10 or whatever? And they'll clinch the top spot in the the East. The worst they can finish is second. They've already clinched. It's either going to be first or second. This bit doesn't matter in terms of actual wins. What matters is being healthy and getting to a spot where they're all playing well again. They can use each one of these games as a practice, and if they accidentally beat the Wizards or whatever, then they'll get first. And then it doesn't much matter that you get first. Your home game is going to be like, what? You're going to be on Wide World of Sports court as opposed to the ESPN court. I mean, it doesn't much matter. It just matters in terms of who do you get to play in that first series of games, which, by the way, won't matter much. It'll be, do you get to play the fourth seed or the third seed? So, I mean, like, in the next round, are you going to be playing Miami or are you going to be playing, I don't even know who plays fourth. I don't even care. It'd be like Philadelphia or someone like that. And I'd rather play Philadelphia because I'm completely unafraid of that team. The Bucks always play up for that team. If they're not at home, I mean, if anybody's going to quit on anything, the biggest fake tough guy in basketball is Embiid. He acts really tough until he's losing, and then he goes and sits. He just sits.
I still wish the Bucks would have drafted him. Yeah. the year after Giannis or the year before? I'd still take it. But either way, but half the reason why he gives up is because as soon as he goes up, Giannis doesn't quit, never does. And right, Embiid, he just gives up. He stops. He so yeah, I'm not worried about Philadelphia at all. I'm always worried about Toronto because Nick Nurse, the coach of the Toronto,
good coach.
With or without Kawhi Leonard, he's gonna
He's got
the Bucks number. He really does. He's got the Bucks number, so
yeah, I'd rather play them last. I want them to be tired and whatever. I want the Bucks to be at their best by the time they play them. I want them to get through whatever eighth place team they're going to play, which doesn't matter in the East or the West, in all fairness. Doesn't matter who's in eighth. They don't matter. Because the NBA season starts in the second round of the playoffs. The entire season is worthless. I mean, you can't convince me otherwise. It doesn't matter. We already know who the top four teams in each division are. They're only battling to see which ones do they mark them 1 through 4. Right. That's really all the regular season is. And then there are no upsets in the first round and very few upsets in the second round. So, I don't care that much about that. But,
I was going to say, much like our COVID talk earlier about the NFL, about get it early and get it off and, you know, get it out of the way. No, I'm not saying that.
I know you are.
I'm not trying to advise that. However, with Connington and Bledsoe, by the time the meaningful games start, they'll be back with the team and they'll be fine. So it's a slight blessing in disguise. Not that anyone has COVID, although both of them have reported they're both asymptomatic. They're just testing positive, which that's great. Great. Again, back to the Freddie Freeman thing, you know, they're not, you know, in any pain in any way, shape, or form. But it's, you know, at least it's early, you know. So, yeah. I mean,
what it means is they're going to lean on DiVincenzo. They're going to lean on Robin Lopez. They're going to lean on Ilyasova and George Hill and Korver just a little bit more than normal. The thing that the Bucks have going that they don't get enough credit for is it is not just Antetokounmpo just pulling that team along and willing them to victory. It is that they have built they've built a team around him. Middleton is a valid star. And they keep talking about Korver has talked about Middleton as the guy who's impressed him the most coming back off of the break. He's cutting and moving great and looks as healthy and as sharp as ever. And that's great. But the thing is that, man, the guys they have coming off the bench in a normal game is really great. To have Brooke followed by Robin, both Lopez's, you know, short hair and long hair Lopez coming out at you at different ranges. And they both give you the same sort of abilities and intensities, and they both do great things and play that key role in what you need to do in this offense, which is sometimes just following up, sometimes just clearing space. Sometimes just getting the rebound on defense or just blocking up the lane and doing those things. They're doing a great job of that. And then having, you know, Hill coming off the bench in most cases and giving you those kinds of minutes, he's just going to have to play a bigger role. Korver and Ilyasova, like we said, are going to have to just make a couple more shots throughout the game One of them just one of those guys has to get hot. Even Brown can come in there and get hot and really start getting this team going, and they could beat anybody on their schedule at this point.
Right. And so help me out. Bucks GM is Budenholzer.
Budenholzer's the coach.
Oh, sorry.
I don't remember their GM off the top of my head.
Oh God, I'm lacking it
Coach
right now.
Bood just, is all I know. But anyway, I mean, like they've done a great job, and I should know the name of the GM at this point. But I don't.
It's not basketball. We don't talk basketball in July. Come on, it's not in my head.
We're
it's
in the wrong fun. Spot here. But I mean, like, that's what we'll be looking for.
But the team is built perfectly for what it is, and this is what a championship team looks like too. And so, what everyone gets in their head is, because when LeBron went down to Miami and it was him and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and when Bosh was the number three person on the team, and Bosh was good in his time, they kind of threw everybody off as to what your team needs to succeed. And then of course comes along Golden State, and they have just unbelievably good draft picks, and then get to Kevin Durant, which, you know, then you got Kevin Durant,
Draymond, and you've got any number of
I'm blanking. I was gonna say Stephon Diggs.
Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, Clay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala.
Draymond Green, number four. He's like Ringo in the Beatles.
He's a dirty Michigan State player.
The great quote from John Lennon, when he was asked if where would he rank Ringo as best drummers in the world, and he said he's not even the best drummer in our band. Draymond Green's nothing without the Golden State Warriors, but yeah, no,
true. He's good.
Clay and Curry and Durant, you know, everyone thinks that's what your team needs to look like. And Golden State, great, you know, but the thing is too, so you look at LA and they're like, oh, they got LeBron and they got, God, I'm just forgetting everybody's names right now. I'm so rusty on sports.
The best. Gosh.
The guy from the Pelicans, Unibrow.
Oh, AD, but he plays in Anthony Davis. He's playing with the Lakers now, obviously.
Yeah, that's why I said the Lakers. Everyone looks at the Lakers, they're like, they got LeBron and AD, and you know, that's it. Well, you know, you got two A-plus players, and then you've got a whole bunch of C's and D's on the bench. Where the Bucks
have Kuzma too.
Okay,
he's good.
But either way, so that's what I'm saying. So like basketball is a sport that can be won by stars. And all the names are escaping me. I'm just thinking
we have not been ready for basketball for a while, but we're getting there, and we're going to be getting ready for basketball very quickly. But
he plays for Portland now. He played for Syracuse.
In college. Carmelo.
Carmelo won a national championship for Syracuse by himself. Like he was that good.
Work so basketball was on that team too.
What's that?
Well, work is on that team. I mean, it's some other.
Oh, but I'm just saying, like in basketball, you can ride one star. You know, it's very possible. But what the Bucks have done is that they have an A-plus talent in Giannis. They have an A-minus talent in Middleton, and they have a B-plus talent in Bledsoe, and then they have a whole bunch of Bs, like a whole bunch of Bs, and then other guys like George Hill and Korver, who later in life, you know, overall not, you know, can come in here once in a while, you know.
They can give you 10 minutes of really good basketball.
Really good. They can give you 10 minutes of A-minus, B-plus, but you can't have them be starters. Yeah, you know, that's how the Bucks are built. Like there's just a lot of guys that can come in. Like sometimes when, you know, you bring in the backups in basketball, there's a huge dearth in talent between them and the starters. And you just pray for the best that, you know, they don't give up too many points and they can score a couple points. So when the starters come back in, blah, 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 we know how this all works. The Bucks are built to win. And I mean, minus one Kawhi Leonard last year, they would have won the championship last year. But
Hey, Aaron. Quite,
yes.
Aaron. John Horst. J-O-N.
Oh, God,
Horst is the GM.
Oh, my God.
He's 34. Horst, of course, just means horse. But,
Horst
I just want to give that out there. A horse is a horse. Of Of course.
He's John Horst.
As of course, we stay very topical with our references by referencing a show from the 60s. Mr. Ed, if nobody knows that, then...
He was a talking horse.
He was a talking horse. Ugh. And he was owned by a guy named Wilbur. I don't remember Wilbur's last name, but I do remember that the horse called him Wilbur.
Wilbur!
He was on TV Land when we were kids, so at least we have that going for us. The only other thing we'll say in terms of Bucks, and Aaron, you brought this to my attention, but Kyle Korver making some good comments today in terms of his role in supporting black teammates. I want you to talk about it. You brought this to me, so this is great.
Well, let me pull it up on Twitter here because you caught me.
I've got it open right now. What he's basically saying is he's centering himself and not trying to be the focal point, understanding that he's a white player in basketball. He's attempting to support his teammates and doing whatever he can. And if he can amplify anything, if he can stand with him, if I can show solidarity, he says, in any way, that's what I'm going to do. He's basically saying that he understands that there's a lot going on with his teammates who are black, who are African-American or not American, just they have black skin, and that there's a lot going on with them. And he knows that he, as a white person, can't make himself the focal point of this movement, can't make himself the star of anything, but he knows that he wants to support them. And he wanted to be there with them in any way he can, and he's attempting to speak with his teammates, find ways to find solidarity with his teammates, and understanding that that's not his role or his job, but it's something he wants to be a part of. But it's such a great nuance in terms of the way he phrases it. He's like, I'm not supposed to be a focal point. I'm not trying to be a focal point. I can't be a focal point. But I want to support my teammates who are just looking to be treated like anybody else.
One of the best deflections ever. And I don't mean it in a bad way. Sometimes you deflect like because you're in trouble or you've done something wrong. He really just said, because you could tell that it was like, it was probably posed to him as like, well, what are you doing to make things better? And, kind of the way a lot of this is, you know, for us, you know, we're both white guys, you know, it's like, well, what are you doing to make things better? Well, I'm just doing what I can do to help my friends that are black, African American, whatever your nomenclature is, you know, I listen, I'm hearing, I'm trying to do my best to like understand what's going on. I can't speak for you. I'll stick up for you. I'll do whatever I can. But, you know, I'm not going to stand here and try and I'm not going to stand here on a soapbox and start preaching. I will help you out in any way I can as your friend and as your teammate and as your brother. I will do what I can. And that's the best way to put it. It's a deflection, but it's not a deflection. It's like, don't look at me. Don't ask me what I'm doing to make things better because I'm not driving this. Like, I will support my friends, my family, my brothers in any way, shape, or form. But don't look at me to do something about it because then I'll look like the world's biggest jerk, you know, because it's a fine line you got to work, you know, and it's, you know, you can't do that. You can't lead the conversation because you don't know what you're talking about. So
perfectly said,
you know.
Yeah. Like he's acknowledging that there's a problem and it doesn't need a white man to fix it. Like it doesn't, it needs a bunch of people to fix it, but it needs mostly white people to stand in solidarity with everybody else who isn't us and trying to find a way to say like, we understand this isn't something we really get.
Yeah.
And Aaron, you and I get this. I mean, like, first off, because you and I both served in the military where we have met more African Americans than we normally would have met in a regular life that we could have lived without the Army. And that helps to form us, to shape us, to say, like, these are people that I would have given my life for, that I would have done anything to help in any way that I could have done. Any number of different people that we have met throughout our lives. And you understand more and more that different people come from different places and that so many of the ways that they experience the world is shaped by where they came from and who they are and, you know, kind of the backgrounds that their families just kind of grew up in and that they couldn't get away from. And in the Army was a great way for a lot of people that we met, you know, basic training, officer basic courses, any different of a number of training sessions we've gone to with enlisted or officers of any sort, where he said, like, you know what, here, I don't care what you look like. We get to do a thing where we say, like, you're really good at this.
Mm-hmm.
You're really good at this thing. And by the way, the only thing I can tell about you is your skin. I can't tell whether or not you were college educated. I can't tell anything else about you because we all wear the same uniform. We all have basically the same haircut. And we can't really look alike. And we can't look like anything else other than just that we're just people from different places who are really working towards the same thing. And that was a thing that you and I got to experience. And not everybody in regular life gets to experience. But it would be great if we did, I think, in terms of just having that experience of understanding people from different backgrounds working towards one thing like that. And that's what Korver gets to do, is he's playing with a bunch of people who have had massively different experiences than him. And why I didn't say all just African-Americans is, of course, that, you know, Giannis is not an African-American. He's Greek. You know,
he's an African Grecian.
Yeah, he grew up as a black guy in Greece. He's had a vastly different story than any of the rest of even the black players on his own team. The African American players on his own team have been very different than him. I mean, he gets to have his brother with him, which is nice. But I mean, like, having that experience of understanding, saying, just, this isn't a thing that I can really understand, but I know that I like you. Mm-hmm. And I know that I want to make things better for you. Mm-hmm. What do you need from me? And it was a great sentiment. It was a well-spoken sentiment from him. So that's how we want to end our main event. And we're going to do something less socially just significant, obviously, as we address everything else that we have in what we call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
Okay, so last call.
I knew I should have written those things down because they were in my head and now they're gone. After that last conversation, now it's all gone.
It's shoot. Okay. One of the things I want to mention, of course, is Northwoods League, which is a wood bat league throughout much of the Midwest, including North Dakota's like Bismarck, Mandan. There's a couple Bismarck teams, Rochester, St. Cloud, Waterloo. Duluth. Battle Creek, Duluth. Kalamazoo has two teams. Great Lakes.
Thunder Bay.
Great Lakes Resorters, which is a terrible name. That's a terrible name. Northern Michigan Dune Bears, which is a great name. Oh, Traverse City Pit Spiders. Kenosha Kingfish. All these guys. They're the Northwoods League, everybody. And if you have a Northwoods League team near you.
Why are we going to get a team name called the Dumpster Pandas? Dumpster Pandas.
There's what's going on mostly in Wisconsin is that we have the Wisconsin, Illinois East and West, and there's six teams: Fond du Lac Dock Spiders, who I mentioned earlier, the Rockford Rivets, that's a pretty great name too, the Green Bay Booyah, which is a Booyah Bay is type of, it's a soup type thing, or it's a local food type, old French type food. The Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, of course, because of rafting and the old wood paper industry, getting all the rafts down here in terms of getting wood down here. La Crosse Loggers, both because they're loggers, they would bring logs down the Mississippi for wood and paper. But also, I mean, in some mind, you want to say a logger with L-A-G-E-R.
Yeah.
But that's not what they are. They are loggers. They bring in logs. And the Wisconsin Woodchucks, which is the least interesting name in the entire Wisconsin group of names here. Those six teams are playing
the Wausau Dumpster Pandas. I like that. Do you know what a dumpster panda is?
A dumpster panda is just a raccoon.
Raccoon. There you go. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because they look like a panda. Anyway.
Yeah. But those six teams make up the Wisconsin, Illinois East and West. Right now, the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, which did set the Northwoods League record for the most wins in a season a couple years back, probably 4 years back now. I'm trying to think if it's three or four. But right now they are 14-6 and have the best record in this little section. Normally it would be a much smaller group, but they have broken down into small bubbles. Kenosha has its own two-team league. There's the Michigan North, the Michigan South, the Minnesota-Iowa League, the North Dakota League, and then Wisconsin-Illinois has an East and West. They're going to have a cross-division championship at the end. Right now, the Rafters are 14-6, best record in the Wisconsin-Illinois group. The Dock Spiders of Fond du Lac are 11-9 and tied with the Rockford Rivets for the lead in the East. So that's kind of where it is. Those are the only teams that have winning records right now. The La Crosse Loggers, who, by the way, I was there for their first season. And if you don't know this, Max Scherzer was a former La Crosse Logger. But right now they're 9-11 and not doing so well. The Wisconsin Woodchucks, 5-15. Green Bay Booyah, 10-10. But the Loggers at 14-6, or pardon me, the Rafters at 14-6 have the best record. They are doing very socially distanced games right now. I'm definitely going to be trying to find a way to get my 14-year-old out to one of those games because, man, it's good to watch wood bat baseball. It is a wood bat college baseball league, and they didn't get a season this year. So all these young men are playing baseball out here and basically making up for a year they did not get in their college games. I want to go back to the well on a team that we have talked about a lot, or a university, I'll say, that we have talked about a lot. The University of St. Thomas, one of my...
I was going to mention that earlier when you were talking. We were talking about FCS schools, yeah.
I told you we would come back to FCS because, by the way, as anyone knows, St. Thomas is one of my three alma maters. I have attended the University of La Crosse, University of Wisconsin La Crosse, and the University of Wisconsin Law School. But my first college I attended was the University of St. Thomas when I attended the St. John Vianney Seminary for 1 year and then left and met my wife. So
and then had five kids.
Five children, yes.
Yes.
But
this is the St. Thomas Cobbers, right?
Nope, the Tommies.
Oh, the Tommies.
Okay. Go Tommies. We talked about the Tommies a lot recently because the Tommies got kicked out of the MIAC, the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, for
being too dang good.
Not just good. I mean, mostly because they're jerks. They run up the score a lot. They got beat. They were not the conference champs. I guess I don't think they were conference champs last year. I think St. John Johnnies actually were because they beat St. Thomas last year. But they've won a national championship in D3 in football. And they've been very, I think they've won one or two national championships, D3 hockey. But here's the fun news from this week. University of St. Thomas will be joining the WCHA in women's hockey. If that sounds familiar, that's where the Gophers and Badgers play in women's hockey. It is the Western Collegiate Hockey Association. It is a Division I school. They are making a D3 to D1 jump in hockey. And the best thing is, like, we are welcoming the University of St. Thomas as a Twin Cities school for our WCHA champion or, you know, conference.
Yeah.
They have not yet announced where they will be playing men's hockey. The assumption is they are, of course, going D1 in men's hockey. And where will they land? Oh, my goodness. The amount of just total just trolling that could be done by the WCHA by putting a Twin Cities team in the WCHA again and it not being the Gophers would be amazing.
That might be the demise of the Gophers program, actually.
For those of you who don't know, the University of St. Thomas is in St. Paul. It is in a gorgeous area of St. Paul, right by the bluffs, by the river. I used to, when I lived there, when I was on campus there, I could run down to there's a very well lit pathway, walkway park along the river. And I used to run down there all the time when I was attending seminary there. It's a gorgeous campus. It is a beautiful campus with an incredibly gorgeous chapel on the edge of campus. I sang in the cathedral, or pardon me, we called the liturgical choir at St. Thomas.
That sounds dirty.
Oh, the liturgical choir was incredible. We sang every Sunday pretty much for church at the chapel. And we sang behind the screen, behind the altar. And just an incredibly wonderful atmosphere. It was wonderful. It was one of my greatest experiences of my life. I sang with one of my best friends, Wes Landry, the best man at my wedding, when I was there. And one of my dear friends, Kelly Martin, now Kelly Chaka, went to school with me there. It is a good school. It's a good business school. It is a gorgeous campus. And guess what? When you have a gorgeous campus, you get what you pay for because it is a private school, obviously, and you pay a lot to go there. if you're a seminary and you get a third of your tuition knocked off, but it's still, it was an expensive school and I was there for 1 year. But yeah, D3 to D1.
Still paying for it, yes.
No, I think my parents finally paid off. They borrowed against something else, but it doesn't much matter that way. Nobody else cares about my life in terms of borrowing money. Right. Also, the University of St. Thomas is going to be moving into the Pioneer League in FCS football. They will be a D1 football program next year, Aaron. Or I guess next year or the year after. I forget what it is. I think it'll be the 2021
season. 2021 season, yeah.
The Pioneer League includes San Diego, not San Diego State, but San Diego, Dayton, Drake, Davidson, Stetson, the Stetson Hats, whatever it is. The Marist.
No, they're all over the country. Yeah.
Yeah. Moorhead, Butler, which everybody knows from basketball, Jacksonville, and Valparaiso, which everybody also knows from basketball.
Yeah.
But I mean, remember they were talking about joining in with like North Dakota State in the Missouri Valley. That they would have gotten owned there.
They would have been 0-10 for the first 5 years if they would have done
easily.
That, so.
Pioneer League is an interesting league, though. San Diego went 8-0 and ran through.
They're non-scholarship. Pioneer League's non-scholarship.
Really? I guess I didn't know that. For FCS, I thought you had to give
some. They're one of the three football conferences that are non-scholarship. Because that's what we were talking about when we were talking about St. Thomas coming up to D1 is how many people they're going to steal from Minnesota. Well, they might not actually steal that many from Minnesota because I believe they're in a non-scholarship conference for football.
Interesting. I'll have to look that up because that's fun. The idea that a team went from D3 to D1 in men's, women's hockey, as well as in football is just crazy to me. But
It says something about the University of Minnesota, though, and their sports, and that is that their, you know, women's hockey in Minnesota, they've been good. They had a good run a couple of years back with three national championships in 4 years.
Yeah.
And but besides that, I mean, the best hockey team in Minnesota has been UMD for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. No, really. I mean, Minnesota hockey, men's hockey, is the worst one in D1 men's hockey because Minnesota State Mankato, St. Cloud State, UMD, as you mentioned, and Bemidji, I believe, have all been higher ranked than U of M over the last like 2 years at least. It's been a rough go for the U of M and the Gophers men's hockey team. And I think it's mostly they're trying to punish them for leaving the WCHA.
If St. Thomas comes in and gets into the WCHA, which I was saying, the Pioneer League for football is non-scholarship. That's football alone. Like they're in a different league. If they come into the WCHA as a hockey team in St. Paul, that's going to be the death knell of Gopher hockey. It'll be done.
They'll be dressing up John Ireland in his uniform every year. For those of you who don't know, there's a statue of Bishop John Ireland on campus, and they dress him up for hockey games sometimes. it's fun, but yeah, no, they'll be getting ready for that. But that's if they are the WCHA program in St. Paul in the Twin Cities, that's going to mean something to a lot of Minnesota kids. So that'll be very interesting to watch going forward.
Maybe not so much Minnesota kids, but their parents at this point. So,
yeah, very true. So that'll be a very interesting thing to watch going forward. And we have gone very long today, but I really wanted to talk about that because that is a very interesting football, hockey kind of thing combined that's going to be really interesting to go forward on. And it's going to be so specifically since it's been talked about so much in terms of a lot of things. But moving their hockey programs and their football programs to D1 is just going to be crazy. And that's going to be really interesting to watch that unfold over the next several years. But anyhow, thank you again for joining us, everybody. All of our friends in Deutschland and Polska and I don't know how to say the Ukraine in Ukrainian. I don't know any of that stuff. I can say Polska, Italia, Deutschland, España, in Great Britain, and Ireland, and whatever. We haven't had any Ireland in a little bit. But anyhow, thank you everybody for joining us once again. Canadian listeners, get your listenership numbers up again. We've been missing our Northwest fans. But everybody, thank you again for joining us. We've loved having you with us for the just weird conversation we go back and down and forth with and talk about Wisconsin sports. You can follow this podcast at Scotty Johnny Pod on Twitter. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. Remember that we are on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and much, much, much more. Wherever it is that you listen to us, please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. And when you do rate and review us, give us those five stars, because we have earned it, and it always helps other people to find the podcast as we move forward. And again, remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, or at this point on the couch in your house, remember that it is always on Wisconsin.
It's amazing how we always go over when we have nothing to talk about, but when we have stats to talk about, it's always an hour sharp.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.